The sermon today is going to be about the fifth commandment. The title is Honor Your Father and Mother, the Fifth Commandment. You know, this nation was founded on family and on Christian values. A lot of people came from different countries to the United States to be able to have the freedoms that we were able to have here as far as religious freedoms. They went through a lot of difficulty to be able to do that. They endured great discomfort, even death, to try to build a new life here. And they were founded, many of them founded their lives on Christian principles and on the Bible. One of those being the importance of the family and the importance of the Ten Commandments, the importance of honoring God and honoring father and mother and building a solid foundation of the family. When I say the word family, what does that mean to you? What does that mean to you? I think there are a few words in the English language that evoke the response that the word family does. You know, you may have those same things when you talk about mother or father or grandfather or grandmother, but family evokes emotions when we talk about that and think about that. You know, if you come from a functional family, be thankful. Be extremely thankful. So many in this world do not come from functioning families. You know, it hurts when you hear about children who have to grow up in families where there's abuse or where there's alcoholism, various other things. And it hurts to see them, little children who should be able to be little children and they can't because of their families that they grow up in. But many of us also have good memories of family. You know, of having fun together as family, of various things that we did as family. You know, as I said, unfortunately in this world today, the family is being torn down, being destroyed. A lot of that's because Satan hates the family. God wants us to become part of his family, and Satan doesn't want that to happen, so he attacks the family. I remember reading a couple of years ago an article from an activist in the 1960s. In the 1960s, they wanted to disrupt society and make a better society. They wanted to reform society in a manner that would provide equality to everyone and food for everyone, safety for everyone. And she said that the first thing they realized when they sat down was they wanted to destroy and take apart the family. Because to them, the family was the wrong foundation for society. It was hierarchical. It was structured. Anybody could teach whatever they wanted to their children. They wanted to destroy the family and have society take over that responsibility. And all we have to do is look where we've come from since the 1960s. I mean, it was bad then for us who came through the 60s, but it's far worse right now. That activist thought there'd be a much fairer society, a much more productive society, a much more equal society, and beneficial society to everyone. But when you look at society around us today, we see it just isn't working. You know, Confucius said, the strength of a nation derives from the integrity of the home. John Paul II said, as the family goes, so goes the nation, and so goes the whole world in which we live. Tony Blair, the Prime Minister of the UK from 1997 to 2007, made this statement while he was Prime Minister. He said this, we will respect family life. We will develop it, and we will encourage it in any way we can. For strong families are the foundation of strong communities. And I think we can all agree to that. If we have strong families, we can have strong communities. God created the family structure from the very beginning. Genesis 1:28 says this, "Then God blessed them," talking of Adam and Eve, "and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it." Adam and Eve were to build a family-oriented environment. It was supposed to revolve around a husband, a wife, a father, and a mother who had children. And that idea of these parents is so important to God that he put it in as one of his Ten Commandments. Right up there, very early on, he put this principle in his Ten Commandments. Let's go to Deuteronomy 5. Let's go to the version in Deuteronomy 5 of the Ten Commandments. We'll read through the first four commandments, which are a good foundation, beginning to the study of this. First commandment in verse 7 of Deuteronomy 5, it says, "You shall have no other gods before me." God teaches us that there is one and only one true God, and that God is made of two people, two individuals, Jesus Christ and God the Father. Verse 8, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath." It teaches us that God is a spiritual God, God the Father and Jesus Christ, spiritual God, and we must worship them in that way. And we must remember that their name and who they are and what they stand for should not be taken lightly. The third commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. The fourth commandment, verse 12, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. This reminds us and tells us that we need to set aside time to worship God and to build our relationship with our Father and with our brother. Even when you look at the way we call them, our Father and our brother, reminds us that it's a family. God is a family. But now we come down to the fifth commandment. We've seen this love and honor towards God. These first four tell us that. But now we look at as we switch over to our fellow human being. Verse 16, it says, "Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you." First four commandments tell us about how we worship God and how we honor and respect God. Now we see the beginning of the commandments that tell us how to honor and respect our brother and our sister. Shows us love towards our fellow human. So let's read this commandment again. Kind of break it apart. It says, honor your father and your mother. It shouldn't be lost on us that it tells us to honor both of them. Both the father and the mother. It doesn't just say honor the father. It says honor both of them. Most societies are very male-oriented. Even Israel was very much oriented towards the male and towards the father. But we see here God puts in here, hey, honor both of them. Honor the father and the mother. Let's go to Leviticus 19, because we'll find something interesting in Leviticus 19. In many ways, this commandment is restated here in Leviticus 19. We'll break into the middle of it. We read Leviticus 19, verse 2. In the middle of it, we restart with, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." And then God links this God being holy to honoring our parents. God links this together. The next verse, verse 3. "Every one of you shall revere or honor his mother and his father." If we look at this, it's switched. It isn't father and mother, it's mother and father. Showing us that both of them, again, need to be honored. The New Interpreter's Bible tells us that in the fifth commandment, the word translated as honor is the Hebrew word kabed, which includes among its meanings to be heavy. Suggesting that this is a weighty matter. We shouldn't be taking it lightly. This is a heavy matter. We should take it to heart. This word is also translated in the Bible elsewhere as reference, honorable, glorify, make glorious, glory, very great, promote. That's how that word is translated in other places. So we should see when it says honor here that this is something important to listen to. It's a heavy matter. We shouldn't take it lightly. The word honor in honoring parents is translated most often in the English Bible as to give high regard to or to esteem. That's what that word most often is translated in the Bible. We should put our mother and father in high esteem. You know, one thing when you look at it, we have to remember, reading that, there is no asterisk beside it that says, look down at the bottom of the page, and then down at the bottom of the page it says, this applies to teenagers and young children. There's no asterisk here. It applies to all of us, no matter what our age is. My parents are gone. I still try to honor them. They've been gone for, one of them, for quite a while. I try to still honor them. I don't speak poorly of them. I try to still speak respectful about them. If we go back to Deuteronomy 5, again, to finish reading Deuteronomy 5:16. Continuing, it says, "As the Lord your God has commanded you," so we should honor our parents, "that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you." This commandment is one of the few commandments that actually come with a reason to keep it and a blessing for keeping it. It tells us both of those things, why we should keep it and what the blessing will be for keeping it. If you look at a lot of the rest of them, they're very simple. The commandments: you shouldn't murder, you shouldn't steal, you shouldn't commit adultery. Very few of them actually say, here's why. And this is a physical blessing you're going to get with it if you go ahead and honor this. That's what the fifth commandment is all about, is about honoring our parents and receiving the blessing, honoring God and receiving the blessing. We keep it so that our days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and that it might be well with you. So there's two statements, that it will be long, your life will be long, and that it will be well with you. So if we keep this commandment, our life hopefully will be long and will be well, will be peaceful, so that we may live long and prosper. That's what it's basically saying. And when you look at this, it's talking about that it will be, have our days be long in the land that the Lord your God gives you. So that indicates that this is also a national blessing and a national reason. This isn't just a personal blessing and a personal reason, but if the nation as a whole keeps these things, their nation will live long and prosper. They'll live long and prosper as a nation, as a society. We can see what happens to our society as we're, as this commandment is kept less and less. We see this society is slowly falling apart and having issues. Now, there are many reasons for those issues. It doesn't only have to do with honoring parents, but it is partially the reason we find ourselves in today. But this has been going on for a long time. Let me read something to you, and guess when it was written. Here's something that was written a while back. It says, an angry father asks his teenage son, where did you go? The boy trying to sneak home late at night answers, nowhere. Grow up, the father chides him. Stop hanging around the public squares and wandering up and down the street. Go to school. Night and day you torture me. Night and day you waste your time having fun. You know, when was that written? When was that written? Just about any time in humanity's history. This is actually from 4,000 years ago, written on a clay tablet by a Sumerian father. 4,000 years ago. So we know this has been going on. We've had issues and the like for a long time. Come with me to Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30, verses 11 through 14. Proverbs 30, verses 11 through 14. Because Solomon talks here about what happens when there's a breakdown in society and a breakdown in parents being honored. Proverbs 30, beginning in verse 11. It says, there is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. What happens because of this, or because of not honoring the parents? Verse 12, there is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet it is not washed from its filthiness. That word filthiness there actually is like a dirty diaper, is what that word basically means. Verse 13, there is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. Verse 14, there is a generation whose teeth are like swords and whose fangs are like knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. That's what happens to society as the family structure starts to break down. It begins to have issues like this, where there's a lack of respect between elders and young people. Proverbs 3, verses 1 and 2. Let's take a look at what the benefits are of honoring our father and our mother. Proverbs 3, verses 1 and 2 says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. Verse 2, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. This is basically what the fifth commandment says, long life and peace, if we don't forget the law of our fathers. Peace is something we should have. Peace, honoring our fathers and our mothers, will help bring peace to us. Doesn't guarantee it. We all know that. Things happen in life. Things won't always end up the way we would like for them to end up. We may keep God's commandments, teach God's commandments, but yet we don't reap certain blessings because of maybe certain things that happen around us in the world. But as a general rule, if we show honor to our parents, and we as parents show honor to our children and those younger than us, we should reap these rewards. So let's take a look at what an example or examples of honoring parents, what it looks like. The Bible's filled with a lot of different stories of honoring parents, honoring elders. Remember Ruth? What did she do? She left her family and honored Naomi. Left her family and came to Israel because she honored Naomi. There's a story that we'll talk about just a little bit more in 1 Kings 2:19 that talks about Solomon and Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, where Solomon is sitting on his throne and his mother comes into him. Bathsheba could have been killed because of that, but Solomon bows down before her and shows publicly his respect for his mother, Bathsheba. Let's go to John 19, though. Let's look to the example of Jesus Christ and how Jesus Christ honored his mother. John 14, verses 25 through 27. This is while Jesus Christ is on the cross, being crucified in agony on what was going on at that time. Let's look at one of his last responsibilities that he does. John 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas. This is John 19, 25. And Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, that is John, standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Verse 27, then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own house. Verse 28, and after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished. This was the last task that he felt he needed to accomplish on this earth, was to take care and honor his mother, to take care of her. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished," and bowed his head and gave up his spirit. One of the very last actions of Jesus Christ was to fulfill the fifth commandment, to honor his mother, to take care of her. And then he gave up his spirit. Should be an example to us. And we should remember here, Jesus wasn't a teenager. Jesus Christ was in his 30s here, and yet he's honoring his mother and showing her respect and care. Again, I mentioned there's no age limit to the fifth commandment. We can't say, "Now I'm a parent, my kids need to show respect my parents." There is no age limit on this. But Jesus Christ, in the midst of the difficulty and the pain that he was going through, cared to honor his mom. That's how important it is. So how do we honor our parents? What are ways that we can honor our parents? Show them honor, whether they're 30 years old as a parent, whether they're 90 years old. even honestly, whether they've died in the past. How do we show honor? He respected her, knelt down before her to show honor in public, set her on a throne because he wanted to show honor to her. You know, I enjoy watching families. I'm sure many of you do that too. You kind of watch people. You're in an airport, you're at a mall, you're at the beach, whatever, and you kind of watch people. It's interesting. When I was 14 or 15 years of age, in the midst of this 70s, early 70s, and all that was going on at that time, I witnessed something that had an incredible impact on my life. I lived in Orlando, or actually Claremont at the time, and a new family had just come into the church. And we had a big 4th of July celebration with the church, and I met them for the first time at this event. And there was one of the kids in the family. This family had, I think, 6 or 7 children, and then the mom and dad. And I met one of them that was about my age at this event. And we got together real well, got along really well, and we kind of hung together for a little bit. And after a bit, he walked over to his parents, because he had family within his family everywhere from probably 7 years old up to the early 20s. He walked over to his mom and dad. This is a 15-year-old boy. And he hugged and kissed them, both of them. And that just amazed me. And I thought, wow, this is wonderful. This boy was showing this real respect. I knew there was respect there. And throughout the night, as the other family came in, the other children, every single one of them went up to their parents and hugged and kissed them. And I thought, how much did these kids respect their parents? You could see it. And I know those parents had to be really happy to know that they were respected in that way. Now, we all have different ways of showing love and care. I come from a family originally that we never hugged. We shook hands. I've learned different over time. But we still should show our parents love and respect publicly. Another thing is to ask for advice and take advantage of it. They're older than us. Ask for advice and take advantage of it, whether we're 15 years old or 50 years old. Ask for advice. Mark Twain, you've probably heard this quote before, once wrote the following: when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to be around him. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years. It's amazing how that works out. It really is. Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9. Our parents and older people in general can be great help in our life. Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9 says, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. Again, mother and father, they're both important in this relationship. For they, if you obey these instructions, will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. They will do good things for you. Take advantage of their wisdom. When I was a 13-year-old kid, I had a retired friend who I frequently spent some time around. He actually taught me how to drive, and we did various landscaping projects together. But one day, I think I said something disrespectful to him. I was probably just a young kid, thought I knew everything. And he gently corrected me by saying this, because I think I had probably said something about some school thing we were doing and how I knew so much about whatever it was. And he said this to me. He said, you may be able to run circles around me in modern math and algebra and in science. But I've learned things through living my life that it will take years for you to understand. He called it common sense. I remember him telling me that's common sense. I've grown to know that as wisdom. Wisdom by living life. Take advantage of the wisdom of our parents. Another way we can honor our parents is to speak honorably about them and speak honorably with them. Show respect to them. Care for them. God's placed them in a position of honor within the family. Respect them. That doesn't mean we have to always agree with them. There will be many things that you may not agree with your parents on. The issue of whether you agree or not isn't necessarily the important thing there. The issue is how do you present it. If you disagree, let your parents know about it. They honestly probably do want to know about it. But do it in a respectful way. Again, no matter what the age is, do it in a respectful way. Proverbs 20:20 says this, whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. It's talking about how we talk with our parents. How we talk to them. 1 Timothy 5, verses 1, 2, and 3. 1 Timothy 5, verses 1, 2, and 3. Here Paul gives us some help in interacting with our parents. We may disagree with some things that they are saying, but Paul tells us how he, or tells Timothy how he's supposed to work with various groups, and we can kind of use that within our lives and our family. 1 Timothy 5:1. Now Timothy is shepherding a church, and he's probably in his 30s here. But Paul tells him this, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows who are really widows. In other words, it teaches us here how to respectfully communicate with those who are older than us and those who are younger than us. How to communicate with them. And these are good things to think about as we do interact with our parents or with our children. Does Paul here, if you look at it, what context does he put our communications and relationships with others in the church? What's the context? It's family. As an older man, as a father, as brothers, as mothers, as sisters. Our communications with each other should reflect good communications within a family. So show honor to our fathers and mothers by speaking respectfully to them and with them. Another way we honor is by having regular contact with them. Have regular contact with them. If you're fortunate enough to live close to your parents, try to visit them. Show them honor in that way. Many of us aren't that fortunate. We live far from our parents, but we can still show them honor through various methods. FaceTime, Facebook, letters. My mom loved letters. She wasn't that happy with email. I wasn't that good of a son for a while. She actually sent me self-addressed stamped envelopes for a while. I got the hint. But we can do those sort of things. We can find ways of communicating with our parents. The Apostle Paul often talks to his churches as if they are family. And he wrote them letters, of which some we have in the Bible. Letters that he wrote to his family and the churches. Even when it became hard for him, he still wrote letters. We know, as it says, or as Paul tells us in Galatians, that he was writing with such big letters because it was hard for him to see. Apostle John indicates that importance of visiting others. 2 John, chapter 12, it says, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. John wanted to visit his family in these churches. He wanted to visit them and make it complete. Another way we can honor our parents is by assisting them financially as they get older. And hopefully we, as we're growing up, we're helping our children financially as they have needs and as they're doing what they need to do to be able to be supporting. All of us want to leave an inheritance to our children. Proverbs 13:22 says that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. We all desire to do that, but we know sometimes in life difficulties hit us and we're not able to do that. Sometimes as older people, they need help. 1 Timothy 5:4. In 1 Timothy 5:4, it says this. Now Paul again is talking to Timothy as a pastor. It says, if a widow has children or grandchildren, these, the children and grandchildren, should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. We're instructed here to take care of our parents and grandparents. But as I said, you can flip this, and it indicates that as parents and grandparents, we should have been taking care of our children as they've gotten into hardships and the like. A sixth way we can honor our parents is by reminiscing. Reminiscing about the good times that you had with your parents. Reminiscing. You know, it's so easy to think about all the things our parents did wrong in our lives. But boy, does it make a difference when you reminisce about the good times with your parents. And you hear about the good things you did. Paul enjoyed that. In 1 Thessalonians 3:6, we don't need to turn there. But the Thessalonians had fond memories of Paul. And Timothy had been to Thessalonica, and he comes back and he tells Paul they always have pleasant memories of him. They had pleasant memories of Paul, and apparently they had reminisced and told Timothy about those. You know, one of the most enjoyable parts of a family is getting together as a family and just talking about times past. I remember a feast several years ago. Got together with my daughter and my family, and we were just talking sitting around, and she started talking about all the wonderful things that we did during feasts. All the wonderful places we'd gone and the wonderful activities we'd done and the good memories that she had. You know, that showed huge respect for me and my wife. It made me feel so good. And she truly was honoring us by recounting the good things we did to them as they were growing up. What a wonderful way to honor and respect parents. Is tell them about the fun things you remember. It's a nice thing to show honor to those who have maybe died and you've got a relative you're talking to of theirs, is to just reminisce a little bit about something wonderful they had done. Now that's about honoring, but there are situations where it's going to be very difficult to honor your parents. We know that not everyone's parent has been good. Not all relationships have been good. There's abuse in families and horrible things that sometimes happen. There's alcoholism. There's people who abandon families. Do we still have to honor them as parents? Again, as I said, there is no asterisk at the end of that commandment that says only if your parents were good. We still must honor them, but we may honor them in a different way. It doesn't mean that we'll ever have a relationship with them. We may never have that, but we should still show respect. Paul talked about showing respect to leaders at a time when Christians were being beaten and thrown into jail, yet they were supposed to still pray for and respect their leaders. But we should really look at it in this way. When we show proper respect and honor, we're showing proper and respect and honor to God. And that is important. Romans 12, 17 through 19. We should always keep this in mind. Romans 12, 17 through 19. It says, repay no one evil for evil. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peacefully with all men. It says, as much as depends upon you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So as I said, we still should show proper honor and respect. That doesn't mean that we're going to have a relationship that's going to be close or anything like that. But we still have to show honor to our parents. So let's take a look at how we can teach honor to our children. How can we teach honor to our children? And we should learn from these lessons too, those of us who are older. How do we teach our children to obey this commandment? It's not something that we're born with. We're not born to honor people. We need to teach and learn how to do it. So one way is, first of all, we need to be showing honor to God. To teach honor, we need to show honor to our spiritual Father in heaven. We need to be respectful to God. We need to honor and obey His commandments. We need to follow His way. If our children see us disobeying those things, they see us dishonoring God. So live a life and praise God. Keep God at the forefront of your family. A second way to make sure, or is to make sure as mothers and fathers that we are honorable. We need to be honorable and an example of God the Father and of Jesus Christ. We need to be examples of them as a father and as a brother. So our children see that and others see that and they can strive to emulate it. We need to be worthy of honor as parents. A third way we can teach honor is to openly honor our parents. Openly honor our parents. Be the example to your children of what you want them and how you want them to act towards you when you are old. Honor and show honor to your parents. You know, I'll read this little anecdote. It's a little bit over the top, but it kind of gets the point across. There's an anecdote about a family with a small child. The family had an older parent living with them. One night, while eating supper, the older father, who wasn't as agile as he used to be, spilled his food and made a mess. Several nights later, he did the same thing again. So the husband and wife moved him to a separate table. He was still in the kitchen, but he couldn't mess up their table anymore. Weeks went by, and the older father accidentally dropped one of his dishes, and it broke. He broke this dish that he'd been using. Disgusted, the husband and wife built a wooden dish for him to eat out of, so he couldn't break their lovely dishes anymore. In fact, it was in the shape of a trough. A couple months later, the husband and wife found their young son in the garage with hammer, nails, and wood. And they asked him, "What are you doing, son?" And he said, "I'm making a trough for you, so I'm ready when you get old." Now again, this is a little bit over the top. But that's what they showed their children. That's what they showed their children of what was expected of them when they got old. To not accept the frailties of the elderly parent. He was just doing what he saw his parents do. So we need to make sure that we show honor to our parents and show our children how we want them to treat us by how we treat our parents. A fourth way is to demonstrate honor within your marriage. Demonstrate honor within your marriage so that children can see honor in practice. So that they can see honor in practice. Showing honor to your wife or to your husband teaches honor and respect to them. How can children honor a mother if the husband belittles her all the time? How can children learn to honor their father if the mother belittles the father all the time? They can't. We need to be teaching honor by showing honor to our spouses, and the children can understand what honor looks like. A fifth way to teach honor and respect to our children is how we look at the relationship between us and God, and how we're willing to take the time we need with our children. In other words, we need to be showing children our respect and our honor. Honor and respect is a two-way street. If we don't show honor to our children, it's hard to ask them to show honor to us. Many of you have heard the song "Cats in the Cradle" by Harry Chapin. The song's basically about a father who all through the life of his son never had time for him, for the son, never had time. He always was too busy. But he always told him, "One of these days, son, we'll go ahead and do that." And the song ends up at the very end, where the father finally has time. He's retired now. And the son comes to visit, and the father says, "Hey, son, sit down, let's talk." And the son says, "I don't have time. I've got things to do." And the father, the ending of the song is, the father says he'd grown up just like me. And throughout the whole song, that's what the son says, is, "I'm going to grow up to be just like you, Dad." And in the end, the father realizes he had grown up just like him. So we need to make sure that we show respect and give time back to our kids so that they see that we honor and respect them. Let's go to one more scripture in closing. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. Paul writes here to the Ephesians about the importance of honor. Ephesians 6, verse 1. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Again, this commandment, this fifth commandment, is reiterated here, giving us the reason and the promise. It's a promise and a blessing that we can take hold of, that we can live long and live well. You know, if you find honor is missing in your family, it's time to begin building it. Claim that promise. Claim that promise of the fifth commandment, that you can be at peace and that you can live long on the earth. And we must also make sure that we claim the promise of having the right relationship with our Father in heaven, that we honor our Father in heaven, and that we honor the mother of us all, the church. The fifth commandment is a great commandment. It's got a lot of promise, a lot of hope. It's something we can all work on. It's something all we can all work with.